Good morning and good coffee, everybody. Hey, it's time for some morning coffee with Larry, and I'm glad that you are here joining with me today for a nice cup of coffee out on the back deck with beautiful blue skies. Only a little bit of haze. It is nice. No dew on the chair where I am sitting, which is fabulous. Oh, and the hot coffee hopefully will have a good impact on my allergies, my nasal passages today. We don't have ragweed season yet, but I'm noticing a little something going on. Maybe you are too. But yeah, it's a good day. I did not get a podcast done yesterday on Monday. Today's Tuesday, the 25th of July, 2023. And we just had way too much stuff stacked up yesterday. And then things had to get changed around also. So it just wasn't going to happen. But this morning, it's coming out a little bit later. I slept in all the way till sometime after 6, probably about 6:20, 6:30. So not quite the early morning that I sometimes have for a podcast. But hey, here we are. I just had a hummingbird come to the feeder that's about, 6 feet away from me. Those things are just so cool. I'm just amazed with them. We don't seem to have as many this year as we have years in the past. My wife has, 2 feeders up. But they're not sucking down the sugar water like other times. But anyway, well, today I have 2 things I want to touch base on. One is funny, the other is serious. So let's start off with some brevity. Let's start off with some light stuff. And these are, I don't know if you've seen some of the videos that pop up either on Facebook or on YouTube, little shorts where you've got these dads sitting in lawn chairs and outside, and they're telling dad jokes and trying to do them seriously and not laugh. And they go back and forth. And I may have even shared some with you on a previous podcast. But for Christmas, I got the most wonderful gift. It is a dad joke a day calendar. You know, you tear off the pages. And my wife just loves when I read to her these dad jokes. She uses these to as kind of a workout routine because she's working the ocular muscles. By performing eye rolls with every time for every time I do one of these jokes. So yeah, I guess now she can just listen to this podcast over and over again and keep working her eye muscles. But I thought I would just share a few of these. And the problem is I can't do them straight-faced because I just crack myself up, even if I've read them before. I guess that's just me. So, Dad, what exactly happened before the Big Bang? Sorry, no time. I got one grandson. He's spent the night last night, and I'll read these. He's like, I don't get it. And it's like, zoom, right over top of your head. My daughter asked me to give her a kiss on the nose before bed, but I can't kiss that. It smells. After 10 years of hard work, I finally finished reading my physics book. It's about time. I went to Legoland last summer. People were lined up for blocks. Oh... How can you tell if the ocean is feeling friendly? It waves. It's just so bad. I love it. Oh. Let's see. If a priest is traveling at the speed of light, does he still have mass? Very good. I like that one. A little science bug in me loves that. What does a bird's ringtone sound like? Wing, wing. That's dumb. My kid's jacket caught on fire when he was lighting birthday candles. I guess you could say he was wearing a blazer. Oh, gosh. Are you enjoying these? If not, just kind of skip ahead a few seconds and I'll be done in a little bit. I knocked over a glass of water onto the table. Now it's a pool table. I can't believe it's going to snow today. But Dad, it's 80 degrees outside. That's why I can't believe it's going to snow today. Oh, okay, challenge. What starts and ends with E, but only has one letter? What starts and ends with E, but only has one letter? Well, of course, an envelope. let's see. two more. It used to be that rich people had cars and poor people had horses. Now, only rich people have horses. My, how the stables have turned. And the last one, I just love. When I read this one, it threw me. I like to hold hands during horror movies, which always seems to scare the strangers more than the movie. Oh, my. Yep. That's how dad jokes go. I love it. Love telling dad jokes, and I don't really love having a dad bod, but hey, it's what it is. Coffee's cooling down too quickly. All right. Well, now I want to touch base on something a little bit more serious. And basically, it's facing life challenges. We all face life challenges different ways. We can face financial challenges, usually following some sort of a financial crisis. We can face spiritual challenges, often when there is something that does have a spiritual nature to it. I remember one of my clients was really struggling with his mother's passing. And we were talking about that, and I shared with him some of related experiences from my time working in hospice. And it had a big impact on him, and he has brought it up several different times, including one time he sent me a Christmas card that was a long time after that particular session, and again bringing up how much he appreciated that, because it helped him, you know, through that challenge, that spiritual crisis. We can have relationship crises, and that can lead to quite a number of challenges that couples have to work through. There's all kinds of challenges that often happen when certain circumstances occur. But usually, we don't train for these. We don't put ourselves through the circumstances to overcome unless there is some sort of crisis. I mean, you know, people don't say, you know, life's going pretty good financially. My job is stable. You know, we're able to meet our needs. We're putting money into savings and towards retirement, blah, blah, blah. You know what? Let's just see what it would be like if all of a sudden I lost my job and we had to go on a crisis budget for the next month. Let's do that. No, people typically don't. People typically don't plan for those kinds of circumstances by actually going through some sort of a simulation. We just hope and pray we don't encounter those. And when we do, we work our way through it, either successfully or sometimes unsuccessfully. You know, when you're looking at marital crises, some couples come through stronger. Some come through divorced. It just depends. Well, I've got a grandson, Josh. And this week we're thinking about him a lot. We're keeping him in our prayers. And I ask that you do that also. Yesterday, he is in Marine boot camp. He's been in it. He's completed 10 weeks. He's now in his 11th week. And next month, we're going to be going out, flying out to San Diego for his graduation. And we're really proud of him. We're really excited to see him again. And I'm sitting here wondering, you know, what kind of changes to him are we, you know, going to see? Because no one goes through any boot camp and comes out, you know, the same. And this week, yesterday, 2 a.m. San Diego time, he started what is called the Crucible. Now, if you happen to be a Marine or you have a close relationship to a Marine who has gone through boot camp since 1996, they have gone through the Crucible. And it is, while boot camps for every branch of the service prepares you for being, you know, a soldier, a Marine, a sailor, an airman, I'm not sure what you call Coast Guard, but the boot camp is there to prepare you for what life is going to be like as, you know, an active duty serviceman. And depending upon which branch of the service you're in, you go through different types of trainings. My dad shared with me some of the things from his boot camp training in 1950 in preparation for going over to Korea for the early part of the Korean War. And he shared some of the different training things that took place, but the trainings were pretty well spread out over the course of the boot camp. They didn't have anything like the Crucible. Now, one of our other grandsons, Nick, he is a sailor, and last year he went through boot camp, and they have something shorter term that is similar that is called battle stations, where they go through an intense simulation of being on a ship and having bad things happen in a battle situation. But it's from what, you know, he told us, from what we learned a little bit on it, and from what we are learning about what Josh is going through, Josh's is a bit more intense because, again, they're preparing for something different. They're preparing for multiple crises that can and in a battle situation will take place. And they're training on how to deal with that. Let me just pull up a little thing that they sent out. It's from a place called Marine Boot Camp HQ. I'm not going to read you the whole thing, but it's pretty interesting. It's titled The Crucible, Marines' Epic 54-Hour Test for Recruits. And it says, the final challenge before earning the title of United States Marine is called the Crucible. It's a 54-hour event that tests physical stamina, mental toughness, and the ability to think critically while under multiple levels of stress, including hunger, sleep deprivation, and physical exhaustion. The Marine Corps Crucible is a 54-hour event that validates the training a Marine crew has undergone before they can be called Marine. The recruits are broken down into squads to face the Crucible challenges. They will face many obstacles that require not just physical strength, but teamwork. Each event ties back to a moment in Marine Corps history, like John Bazelon's last stand on Iwo Jima, for example. During the Crucible, Marine recruits will face sleep deprivation, and basically they get at the most 3 to 4 hours of sleep each night during this. Limited food, they get 2.5 MREs, meals ready to eat, for the whole time. Physical exhaustion, 48 miles of hiking over the course of the 54 hours, 8 physically and mentally demanding events, and simulated casualty evacuation throughout each event. What happens during the Crucible is no big secret, but it will take more than knowledge of the events to make it through. It will take grit and determination and a never quit attitude. Introduced by General Charles Krulik in 1996, the Crucible was designed to orient recruit training around realistic combat training scenarios. The word crucible, which means a severe test or a place or situation in which concentrated forces interact to cause or influence change or development. The Crucible has evolved during the Iraq and Afghanistan wars to include immediate reaction drills and simulated casualties, and to recite the recent heroism of modern Marines. That's one of the things that I've seen on some of the videos where they have them stand in front of like a board that has a real life story of a Marine and how they had to handle a situation that they were able to, rescue or overcome extreme obstacles or make the ultimate sacrifice in order to save their fellow Marines. The exact schedule of the Crucible is tightly held secret, but it begins with a 2 a.m. wake up and an early morning 6-mile hike to the bivouac site. You'll be wearing a flak jacket and a rifle, and on your back will be a 40-pound pack with everything you need to sustain during the 54-hour event. You're issued 2.5 MREs, which is a total of 3,000 calories, and you'll have 2 canteens full of water. In your pack, you'll have extra camis, skivvies, which is underwear, 2 extra pair of socks, your tent pole, sleeping bag, a bivy set bag, for a total of about 55 pounds. So I don't know whether it's a 40-pound pack or a 55-pound pack. But anyway, it's pretty intense. At the end, because he is out in San Diego, the last test thing they do is in the middle of their last night hike, they have to reach the top of a 700-foot elevation hill that's very steep, that's very challenging, and this is after they've, done almost the 54 hours, and they have to get to the top. It's called the Reaper, the hill is, and it's up at the top where they receive, they have a ceremony where they receive their pin and are now called Marines. Then they do an additional hike, 6-mile hike back to base, and they have breakfast. And it's what they call a warrior's breakfast. Steak and eggs, cake, ice cream if they want it. It's pretty intense. If you're interested in learning a little bit more, just do a YouTube search for the Marine Crucible. And there's a few videos where they've let teams, camera crews come in to film. And in one of them, they actually do, some interviews with people. And that one's out of Paris Island, out on the East Coast. I'm really proud of him. And I am confident he's going to succeed through this. Now, let me ask you, any of you think that you could go through something like this? Well, obviously, probably everybody listening to this is in nowhere near the physical shape to be able to. But stop and think, what would be a crucible training for something that you know that it's possible that you may go through, and preparing yourself for it? I've not been in the military. I just worked 13 years with the Department of Veterans Affairs and have a great appreciation for the military, for the enlisted as well as the veterans, for what they have gone through, not just training, but then for many of them, if they got called into war situations. But, I kind of think back to circumstances that I have been through that were challenging. Nowhere on this scale. Nothing I've experienced is on this scale. But they were situations where either it was training or it was actually going through a specific kind of event where I had to push myself. I had to push myself mentally, physically, spiritually. Not because it was a crisis, but because it was, a decision to go through something. When I was in Boy Scouts, they have a lodge inside of Boy Scouts called Order of the Arrow. And whenever you are joining that, your first joining weekend is called your ordeal weekend, and you have to do service work, and you're not allowed to talk for 24 hours, and you're a kid and you can't talk. And if you get caught talking three times, I believe it was, it's a three strikes, you're out. You're done with that weekend. You don't get to go into the lodge. When I went into my fraternity in college, that was back in the days when you got to do things to get into a fraternity that you're not allowed to do anymore. And there's good reason for that. But, there were, different kinds of challenges that I went through that was for the purpose of developing brotherhood. One of the challenges going back to Scouts that I did was for a merit badge, which was wilderness survival, where we were dropped off in locations in a wooded area of a large camp. We had to find edible wild plants. We had to make a meal out of edible wild plants. And then that night, we were taken out at night along a trail that was not typically used, and we were dropped off. And we had to spend the night by ourselves somewhere that we didn't know where we were, out in the woods of this large 2-square-mile camp. Again, for a kid, that's a challenge. you know, when one of the things all are in scouting also, I was involved in troops that did hiking. And we were preparing for a big challenge that was to take place right before my senior year in high school. And that was called Philmont Scout Ranch. Some of you may know about it. It's the premier scout ranch in the Boy Scouts in the mountains of New Mexico. And we spent a year training, going through other hikes to prepare ourselves physically and mentally for doing this long, extended mountain trek. We found hills in southern Indiana, and we hiked them, first without packs, and then later on other trips down there, we had full packs. The trails ranged from 9 miles to 20 miles long. And that was in preparation for Philmont, which started at 5,500 foot elevation, and our highest point was at 10,000 foot. We had to carry a backpack for 10 days as we traversed 62 miles through the mountains, eating only dehydrated foods that we had to rehydrate. And it wasn't freeze-dried, it was the crappy dehydrated. And they said, when you come out of the mountains, you'll either be a tired man or a broken boy. That was the closest thing to a crucible that I ever endured. And it was nothing near what's going on here for Josh. So there's some things out here in the civilian world. And there may be challenges that, you know, you may look at your life and say, there's a potential I may have to face something. Do you want to go into it with a great deal of question in your mind as to whether you can handle it? Or do you want to maybe create your own challenge to see if you can? You know, living out here on our farmstead, our homestead, I have memories of my grandparents. And I've talked about these many times. You know, they raised all their own food. They raised their own meat. They raised all their own vegetables. The only thing they really didn't do that I ever saw was, you know, they didn't grind their own flour during my lifetime. They may have taken wheat they had to a feed mill and had it ground, or they may have just, you know, bought the flour that they needed, or buy the sugar. I know earlier in my family's history, they would make molasses, and that was their sugar. You know, and grandma and grandpa, they would always raise a year and a half's worth of food, because you don't know what the next year's, you know, garden is going to produce. So you always produced more than enough. Grandma had hundreds and hundreds of canning jars. And that's kind of a challenge for us. You know, if, as like everybody says, we're, you know, the potential for going into a depression, economic depression, major changes, you know, would we be able to raise enough for us? You know, those are little challenges that we do here. We think we've got raising chickens down. We've got that figured out. We have hatched out a lot. We have raised them to full grown. We locally source our chicken feed. We can also create chicken feed here. We have the ability to raise goats. We haven't slaughtered any goats. We have other local people that we can barter and trade with. Yesterday, I canned 14 quarts of green beans, fresh from the garden. We also have potatoes that I've been gradually digging up, and we're learning how to cure, I guess would be the term, harden up the potatoes so that they will last in storage. Different kinds of things. So what I would do is challenge you. Challenge you to think about challenges that you may potentially face and do some preparation, do some training, do some education, and then try doing those things. Why? Well, why not? Because if something is possible, I'm not talking about, you know, the big extreme kind of thing that rarely ever happens. I'm talking about the stuff that's more potential, you know, has a greater potential. Have you ever lost your job and had trouble finding a new job? Can you tighten your budget enough to get through that? What would you do? Those are challenges that we can simulate to see how we would and learn what we need to do in order to get through it. Josh is, he's in day two. It ends tomorrow morning for him with a warrior breakfast. Keep him in your prayers. We're keeping him in ours. Again, in a couple of weeks, we're going to be able to see this new man that has come out of the boy Josh that we've known his whole life. We'll see how he's come through. And how would you come through the challenges that you can prepare for? All right, I've gone over my 30-minute limit, so I will cut you loose for today and have a very good one. And we'll see you for another cup of coffee later this week. Take care. Bye-bye.